Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Back 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's good to be with you as always. I told you that Andre Carter was going to be with us, but we're having a little difficulty catching him. We're having a little technical difficulty hooking up with him, and so he may join us in a minute, he may not, but we're going to continue to talk about what I wanted to talk about. We're going to continue to talk about intellectual property, because I think this is one of the very important things that small business owners should be paying attention to. And what I want to remind you about is what intellectual property is. Intellectual property is what you know. And you might say, well, okay, I know a lot of things, but how's that going to help me? Well, it's you. In your small business, you and I have learned things. We've been taught things, and we've learned things. And we've taken that knowledge, and we have converted it into behavior. We've converted it into practices. We've converted it into systems. We've made, we've created ways of operating a business. We've identified best practices, ways that we can do things better. We've created images like logos, and there are so many things in your business that you don't realize are intellectual property that make your business what it is, and that makes you a little bit, at least a little bit, if not quite a bit, unique from other companies. From other businesses who do exactly what you do. And the reason why I think this is so important that you become more aware of these things is because in the 21st century, that's probably the only thing that the way you think about your business, the intellectual property element of your business, is the only thing that's really different about your business from other businesses. Because you've heard me say this before, you've heard me say that virtually everything is a commodity today. If you think about it, look around you at the products that you have in front of you, the things that you use, the food that you eat, the clothes that you wear, the cars that you drive, the computers you work with, the pencils, televisions. You look around and tell me something that really, if you think about it, isn't a commodity. There aren't many of those, not many at all. And so if you're in one of those businesses, then that means that the things that you sell, the stuff that you sell, there's really nothing all that special about it. Special meaning it's unique. It's a unique thing that they can't get, that your customers can't get somewhere else. See, that's the key to being a commodity. It's readily available, and pretty much everybody knows the price. And so that's when the competition really heats up. And so how do you distinguish yourself in the marketplace? How do you and I make sure that our customers are do business with us rather than somebody else? Only way to do that in the 21st century is the way that you present and deliver to those customers, and the way you those commodities to those customers, and the way you maintain those relationships. That's the only difference. And tell me how you can hold in your hand what I just said. It's all intellectual property. It's all the way that you, as you heard earlier this week, we heard Tom Asacker talking about this. It's the way you make your customers feel about doing business with you, about owning the stuff that you sell, about having the things that you provide, whether it be a service or a product, something they can hold. It's the way you make these people feel about doing business with you. That's the branding part of what you're doing. And so much of that is driven by the way you, the intellectual way that you run your business. And so that's why I say that the intellectual property of your that you own is becoming more valuable. It is already, really, but it's becoming every day more valuable than the hard assets that you own. When we come back, I'll tell you why I mean. I'll explain a little bit more about why I say that. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Well, nothing is going right.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with Walter Olson, the author of The Rule of Lawyers. And after that, we're going to be talking with Ivan Meisner, president of Business Network International and the editor of a new book, which has become a bestseller, Masters of Success. And that's coming up in the next hour. I want to continue our discussion on intellectual property. I mentioned a minute ago that I thought that your intellectual property, the intangible assets that you have, was, and it is, and will become more and more, more important than your fixed assets. And here's why I say that. In times past, the bigger warehouse you had, the more inventory you had, was an advantage for you. Remember the commercials where somebody would advertise largest inventory of light fixtures in Northern Iowa or whatever it might say. The largest inventory was a big selling point. That was a big deal. Today, I'm not saying that nobody's doing that anymore, but I'll tell you what, less and less people are doing it. Fewer and fewer people are doing it. Because in today's world, more people are able to employ one of the best management practices that's ever been developed, one of the best, and that's just-in-time inventory management, rather than just-in-case. Just-in-case is largest inventory of light fixtures in Northern Iowa. That's just-in-case. Just-in-time says we have light fixtures, but if you'll pick out the one you want, we'll have the one you want tomorrow. You don't have to actually walk off with the one that for something like a light fixture. Do you have to have it today? Is tomorrow okay? And so what happens is, because I don't have to have that big warehouse, and because I don't have to have that $2 million worth of inventory, all that stuff, just in case, costs a lot of money. Just in time allows you to give your customers that discount. A discount because you don't have all that extra expense and carrying charges. And so consequently, you're able to say, if you'll let me order this and have it in tomorrow, this is my price, which may be a lot less than the other company. But also, the way you arrange to present your products to your customer, all of that allows you to be more competitive by combining just-in-time inventory practices with the intellectual property that you've developed for how to deliver your products, how to present your products to your customers. And so that's the reason I say that in the 21st century, for small businesses especially, the advantage is going to go to those people who are more nimble, who can be more flexible, and who understand that the key to their success is not what they're selling, because remember, the what is mostly a commodity these days. Not what you're selling as much as how you are presenting and delivering the things that you sell, the what that you sell, how you're delivering that, and how you're maintaining the relationships with those customers. That's the key. You know, one of the most important things with regard to intellectual property, one of the most important things that you can do is to keep a customer. You know, it's not really that hard, if you think about it. It's not really that hard to get somebody to come in your store. You do some advertising and you do a little marketing and you got a business out on the street and people come to see you. That's the easy part. The hard part is to get them to come back. You know, whenever I've had customers of mine doing what I'm doing right now, my corporate sponsors, it was always a big deal for me when they decided to sponsor what we do. But believe it or not, it was a bigger deal for me the second year and the third year, but when they renewed. To me, it wasn't really any kind of a big, it wasn't anything that I felt all that special about when they did business with us. But I did feel like we were doing a good job when they came back the second time. And that's the way you need to feel about your customers is, you know, if a customer comes in the door, a new customer comes in the door, congratulations, good for you. If they come back, then pat yourself on the back. And the way you get those people to come back is not by the products that you sell. Because remember, they can get those things six ways from Sunday within anywhere from a block to online 10,000 miles away and still have it delivered on their doorstep tomorrow. So from a competitive standpoint, you've got lots of competition for what you sell. And the key is how can you make how you sell it, how you deliver it unique? And that lies in the intellectual property that you develop. Now, here's an example of what that might look like. One example is, and Jack Mitchell is going to talk about this tomorrow, I think, a little bit when he joins us to talk about customer service. And that is the way you manage the information that you have about your customers. Would you believe me if I said that if you collect the email addresses of your customers and you reach out and touch them on a periodic basis by email, and you've created a list and a method of communicating with them through a type of a newsletter, would you believe me if I said that's intellectual property? It sure is. It's your intellectual property. And guess what else? It helped you get that customer to come back the second time, maybe even many more times. Tintel, stay with me. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
County fair in the country sun, hunting everything extra.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblassingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Pick one out, and when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget all the other things you can do there at jbsba.com. And don't forget, if you have an email you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, it's askjim@jbsba.com. Okay, we're talking about intellectual property, and hopefully by now you're getting the message, you're getting the idea that when I say intellectual property, it doesn't have to mean patents, it doesn't have to mean the Coca-Cola formula that's locked in a vault in Atlanta, you know, it doesn't have to mean Colonel Sanders' 11 herbs and spices, the secret to his 11 herbs and spices, it doesn't have to be that, although it could be. And if you've got something that is really working for you, and you figured out something pretty unique, then you do need to protect that as a trade secret. Because, you know, as you've heard some of our patent experts say, trade secrets can be the best way to leverage what you know much better oftentimes than a patent is. So, but think about, if you're a distributor and you got trucks on the road, you've determined that on Tuesday the best route is counterclockwise around the city, let's say. And on Wednesday, the best route is the other way. Well, that's something you've learned. It's something that you've figured out. And it makes you more efficient. It gets you a little better efficiency out of your vehicles and out of your people, and you're able to do more with less. That's the key to success in small business in the 21st century. Doing more with less, doing more volume with fewer people, for example. And all of that is because of what you've learned. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take today, this week, or this month, or this year, and I want you to think about all the different intellectual property assets that you have. That truck route, that schedule route that you have, the way you stack for your inventory on a shelf. Maybe you've come up with something that's unique that your customers like. The what you know about your customers, their names, addresses, phone numbers, their email addresses, how you can reach out to them, how you can personalize the way they do business with you, the way you do business with them. How you can figure out how to know when they walk in what their name is. And maybe that's just a memorization class. Maybe you help your people have a better memory, so when they see these faces, they remember them. You know, the greatest sound to anyone's ears is their own name. And there's a company, as I've told you earlier, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. later this week. And when I go to Washington, I stay at the Georgetown Inn. Now, do you know why I stay there? There are a number of reasons why. I like Georgetown. I like where it is. I like the hotel. I've been staying there a long time. But you know, one of the things I really like about it, they know my name. They when I walk in, I only stay there 4 or 5 times a year. But the people who have been there know my name, and they say, "Welcome back, Mr. Blasingame." If they know me well enough, if they remember, they'll say, "Welcome back, Jim." But guess what else happens? About a week before I get there, I get an email from them, and it says, "Dear Jim, we understand you're going to be arriving on whatever day. Looking forward to having you back." I get a little email from them. How about that? Now, do you think that I'm going to want to go anywhere else if that happens? Well, what they've done is they've created some intellectual property. They've created an email program with this little reminder, this little welcome letter that goes out. And maybe I just think that I'm so compelling that they remember me and they're so excited to have me. Maybe they've, and I don't know that they've done this, but maybe their bellmen and their valets, maybe they've told them, "Okay, Jim Blasingame's coming today. Here's his face. Here's his picture. We know what he looks like. And when you see him, just say, 'Welcome back, Mr. Blasingame.'" Maybe they've done that. Because you know what? All they have to sell is a hotel. And how much more of a commodity could a hotel be in Washington, D.C.? But yet I keep going back to them over and over again because of the way they treat me. And they treat me that way because they've learned about me and they've created some intellectual property around that relationship. And I think that's something we all need to pay more attention to. That's a success story. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.